2 Thessalonians 2 and verse, begin reading here with verse number 1. I think for me it's helpful to read the scripture in light of things that are going on or through the lens of things that are happening in our world today. Now it would be pretty difficult for me, and I have pondered this the last couple of days and prayed about this, Lord, what should I do? To ignore what's happening, to not address it or talk about it in this service, I think would be very difficult to do because it's so heavily upon our minds. The most significant decision ever handed down by any court, any time in the history of mankind, took place Friday. The most significant decision ever handed down by any court, anywhere, anytime, in the history of mankind took place Friday. That's why we consider it something to provoke our thoughts. That's why there's a heaviness that has settled in upon many of us. And but I'm trusting that the Lord today will give us some help from His Word. I'm reminded of how many times that we turn to God's Word, the comfort of the Scriptures. Amen. God's Word that is hope in the midst of troubled times. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by your gospel, by our gospel, to obtain, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, that our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Amen. Strong words, words of warning, but also words of comfort. There has to be, I believe, a different kind of response to what's going on in our world from the church. We respond differently. Amen. We don't respond like the world. There's a large segment of the population of our country today that are not Christians, and they oppose what happened Friday, and they're full of anger, and they're you know threats and all of these things that are going on, and that's the response of a person who is unconverted. I have to admit, when this decision, I guess I must have had my head stuck in the sand, because I have talked to a number of different people, and I was feeling pretty good about it. Talked to some people from the Family Foundation. They were even feeling, you know, pretty good about the possibility of that decision going in our favor. So whenever the decision was handed down Friday, I was a little bit surprised, shocked. I went from that to being sad and grieved and angry and disgusted and all those feelings, I guess, that rose up in my heart. But I think that as believers, and I've had some time to think about this, to meditate upon it, and to pray about this and ask the Lord, Lord, how do we respond as a church? How do we respond as people of God? We have to be different than the world. We can't be like the world. We're called out of the world. And so we don't have the same responses that they have, those that are unconverted, those that are not followers of Jesus Christ. We are to have a different response. Those of us who believe the Bible, we teach and we preach that our lifestyle and our doctrine is different. And so we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there must be a godly response to what's going on in this world. And that's what we're talking about today in this service. We've been called to the truth. And even though the truth is not popular, and even though the culture is opposing the truth, this is not the first time in the history of the church that we have been in, I guess you would say, the minority. Christians have found themselves in this position a lot of times. But I just want to remind you today, the truth hasn't changed. The scriptures haven't changed. The gospel of Jesus Christ hasn't changed. The mission of the church hasn't changed. Jesus Christ hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so even though we are in changing times, the only stable ground that we can stand on is the foundation of God's Word. Every other foundation is crumbling. Every other foundation is unstable and a slippery place. But when we put our footing solid on the Word of God, then we know that we can stand strong no matter what comes our way. Praise God for that wonderful hope. So what is our response to be? And I've given quite a bit of time and thought to this. How should we respond? Well, the Bible says that in everything, give thanks unto the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we're thankful for what happened. Or if you're sick, you're not thankful for the fact that you're hurting, but you are thankful that you can be thankful in the midst of the situation, in the middle of the circumstance. And not necessarily thankful for what's happening to you or what happened this week, but we can be thankful to the Lord in the midst of all that is going on in this world. Amen. And so we should be grateful. We should be grateful that God is at work, that God hasn't failed, that His Word is still true, that the message of the gospel is still the truth. We should be thankful that in the midst of all that's going on in our world, that the gates of hell will not be able to change what's going on in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And the kingdom of this generation, we're moving closer and closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, and all these things remind us of the fact of the closeness of the end of this age and the soon return of Jesus Christ. And for that, we can just rejoice. Praise God. He's almost here, and we still have some time left. We don't know how much time, but however much time that we have, we need to be busy doing what we have always been doing, preaching the gospel, living for God, witnessing for God,
and recognize that we can be grateful and we can demonstrate that kind of a spirit in a world that's going through so much. Amen. We can also look at the fact that the history of the church proves that the church was not built by men, but it was built by God. You hear all about how the church is going to be under threat and the church is not going to be like it used to be. Everything is changing. Everything is changing, they say, but nothing is really changing because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they can't destroy the church because he's the builder of the church. Amen. It's his church. Do you think that any man or any court or any decision or any movement can destroy what God has built? No, they cannot. And as a matter of fact, we need to be reminded of the fact that the church is the only thing standing in the way of the world having its way with this world. Amen. We stand in the way. That's why we are the enemy of those that want to be proponents of that which is wicked and evil. And the scripture that I read to you there from Thessalonians reminds us of the fact that we live in a time when the mystery of iniquity is at work. Brother Bright talked a little bit about iniquity this morning in the Sunday school class, talking about the deep evil deeds of wicked people and iniquity, which is just really just lawlessness. Just no one wants to be restrained. They fight against any restraint. And when it talks about the mystery of iniquity, the word there, mystery, means the secret. A secret, like there's this undercurrent of iniquity that wants to come to the surface, but it hasn't been able to do what it wants to do because let's read it again. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Because as long as there's a church, there is this restraining force that's in the world. And it's hindering them. I mean, the church has always held the world in check. That's a part of our calling and our responsibility. It's not that we point our finger at evil and say, y'all need to straighten up, y'all need to do better. It's not that. It's just the fact that there's a righteous work that's been accomplished in our life. And as long as we're living for God and serving the Lord, we're that resistant force. We're that restraining force that keeps that secret low-lying iniquity from ever having full control. And that's really what the enemy wants. He wants control of the United States of America. He wants to destroy. He wants to put the church underground. He wants to silence your testimony, my testimony. That's what he wants to do. But remember, the mystery of iniquity, it's already at work. But there's a restraining force, and he's not going to be able to really do what he wants to do until the church is out of the way. Amen. And when the church is out of the way, I believe that the Antichrist spirit is already in the world today, but that man of sin is going to be, he's going to step on the scene simultaneous to the time that the church is raptured out of here. I know there's a lot of different beliefs about this, but I'm just telling you what I believe. I believe that the Antichrist will have the opportunity to step full-blown onto the scene whenever after the restraining force of the church is removed out of this way. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed whom the Lord shall consume. It doesn't matter, though, if he is revealed and when he is revealed, because his time is going to be cut short. He's not going to have much time to do his damage because the Lord is going to consume him with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved.
One of the things that's mysterious to me is the fact that so many people are sucked into this lie. And it's growing. More and more people are believing it. Even the Presbyterian Church USA voted this week. I believe it was this week, recently anyway. And they're now accepting this perversion and this horrible thing that they call, quote-unquote, gay marriage. And so there are many, many that are moving in that direction. They're deceived. And they believe. Isn't it interesting that people that are supposedly smart, intellectuals, people full of lots of information and knowledge, could be sucked into such a foolish, foolish lie? But they are. They are. How has this happened? The Bible clearly says how that it's happened. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. What is the cause? The cause is they reject the truth. We have a nation that has rejected the gospel, rejected the truth of the word of God. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. A lot of people are talking, I'm a Christian. You know, I serve the Lord, and many are saying, I serve the Lord, I go to church, I'm a Christian, but I also believe in this. But they have rejected the love of the truth. They do not love the word of God. They do not love the truth that's revealed in the word of God. So here's what God says will happen because of their rejection of the truth. That God will send strong delusion. What is happening today in the minds of people that have got things so twisted around is this is the result of their rejection of the truth. And God has sent a strong delusion into the land that has come into this nation that we love of America. A strong delusion that they would believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what's going on in our world today. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is that restraining force. That's the reason that, one of the reasons why that we need to understand that we have a responsibility as a church to hold fast, to be steady, to be strong, and to continue to declare the whole counsel of God, to continue to live a righteous life separated from the world, to continue to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus. Amen. It's only as we have a church and a people that have awakened to righteousness, that we're on fire for God, that we're working by the power of the Spirit, we're moving by the power of the Spirit. That's the only way that we can be a restraining force in our world today. So the church is going to have to, this is a wake-up call for the church to repentance. This is a wake-up call to the church to repent. Amen. Repent of our inconsistencies, for our ignoring the word of God, for our excusing ourselves and our wrong and our sin. We need to repent of our hypocrisy. We need to repent before the Lord. The judgment must first come to the house of the Lord. It must start first of all among you and me. We need to repent of our lies. We need to repent of our hypocrisies. We need to repent of these things that are not pleasing to the Lord, so that the church can wake up, so we can be the church that's on fire, we can be the church that's having a real righteous influence in our community. If we succumb, if we become like the world, if we act like them, talk like them, live like those in the world, if we're just like them, we lose our ability to influence the world. It's only as they see Jesus in us. It's only as they see the gospel lived out in our lives every day that we have any power. The Church of Jesus Christ is the most powerful force on the earth. Praise God. Amen. More powerful than the United States Supreme Court. More powerful than the executive branch and the legislative branch, more powerful than any movement, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we lose our ability to influence the world and to really make the impact that we've been called to if we do not walk in righteousness. before the Lord. Amen.
Amen. The wake-up call. Our response should be to remain grateful. Our response should be to embrace the fact that we are a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, another response is we should exercise prudence in all that we do. Another word is the word proactive. We should prepare for any future problems that might come our way. We're in a new world now. We're in a whole new environment now. And so we need to be prudent. And we need to give thought to the future. The prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. What does that mean? Does it mean he runs and finds a hiding place? No, the word means he covers himself. The prudent man is the person who looks to the future, he makes preparation, and he covers himself. Amen. But the simple pass on and are punished. A lot of verses in Proverbs about prudence. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Proverbs 14:8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Amen. So we should look at our lives and our ministry and all that we are attempting to do here at this location and move forward with prudence, to be proactive. Here's some ways that I would hope we would be able to do that. Number one, we would evaluate all the formal documents of our church, our bylaws, our constitution, everything, our statement of faith, our doctrinal statement. We need to evaluate it all and make sure that everything is written and included there that would provide us the optimum protection in the environment that we're in right now. Amen. There are a lot of sources of information on how that we can do this and to cover ourselves. The prudent covers himself. The foolish just goes on, thinks, it'll be all right. Everything will work out all right. There's a lot of people already that are thinking, this is not going to have any effect on us. No big deal. Don't worry about it. But the prudent looks to the future and protects himself and covers himself if there are any questions or problems in the future. Amen? Amen. So we're to exercise prudence. And we are to look to make sure that we can face any legal challenges that we might face in the future as it relates to these new laws that are being established. We need to take every step to protect ourselves, to cover ourselves in these last days. We need to understand that we will not waver in the conviction that we have and that we believe, no matter what. Make no mistake, as a church, that there will never be a gay marriage performed in this sanctuary or on the grounds, as long as I'm here, and I know the leadership of this church is in full agreement with what I'm saying. Amen. There will be no gay marriage in this sanctuary or on this property, no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost. And we know that that could be a severe price to be paid. But then again, we are prudent in how that we respond and treat those who might walk in the doors of our church. Whereas there could be, and likely will be, those who live in this lifestyle who will come and visit our church. Our response to them from as Christians needs to be proper and right. So we prepare ourselves. Amen. We prepare ourselves to know how to respond to those who do not live according to the way that we believe. I think we all understand that we hate the sin that's being promoted, and that this United States Supreme Court has given its approval to sinful practice. So now as a nation, it is legal to live your life in a very depraved way. That how we respond as the church is important. Because when they walk in the doors of the church, we do not know what is going on in their minds. We don't know. All that we know is that there are people that need God. That's all we know. They need God. So it should never be said of us, no matter who they are, when they walk in the doors of this church, that we will not welcome them to be here. We want them to be here. We want them to walk in the doors and to be exposed to the move of the Spirit. We want them to be exposed to the Word of God. While it's difficult, it's hard for me, honestly, and I know for many of you, you feel the same way. I feel disgusted by the lifestyle, and it's very hard for me, but I do know that the right proper Christian response is to love the sinner and to hate the sin. Amen. Amen. I've always wanted to use that phrase because everybody else has used it. You know, that's the point their finger and say, we hate the sin, but we love the sinner. Well, it fully applies in this situation here today. How they treat them if they walk into our church is important. We're not afraid. We're not fearful. We don't feel like that they're here to do us damage. We need to be confident in who we are and what we believe because we are building our lives and the ministry of the church on the foundation of God's Word. Amen. So don't be afraid, but show love and show mercy and pour out to them the grace of God through your testimony and through your love and touch their lives somehow as they come into this place. We pray that God would help us to reach them. Amen. We live in a world that is fast changing, and I understand that it's very difficult to know exactly how to respond in every situation. That's why we need to plan ahead. Amen. Don't be caught off guard. Plan how you're going to respond. Plan how that you're going to minister, how that you're going to give. I've never been one that when I see someone walk in that, you know, don't meet up to my expectations that I change my sermon text that day. And I won't be doing that. If I'm preaching that day, when they walk in the door, if I'm preaching on the love of God that day, that's the message. If I'm preaching on the Holy Ghost, that's the message. There won't be any adjustments because we've got a ministry and a calling to touch the lives of as many as we can for the glory of God. Amen. Our light must shine. In the midst of all that's going on, it's getting darker and darker and darker in our world, but we are called to shine. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." That's the only way they're going to ever know is if the love of Christ shines through you. For God, this is verse 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Philippians 2:15, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Amen. So we're prudent. We prepare ourselves because we as the church have a responsibility to influence as many as we can for the gospel's sake. Hallelujah. In order to do that, you have to engage the world. You have to engage the world. Do not be fearful of what is going on out there in the world, but to deliver the message of the gospel every opportunity that we have. And one more thing here this morning. And that is, we need to remember that we are born for this time. We are born for this time. You were born for this time. Just as Esther, who stepped on the scene when all of her Jewish family was the minority under threat, facing persecution and eventual, complete annihilation. But Esther was put in a position at a place for such a time as this. God's timing in her life was so perfect to set her in a place
so that she can infect that generation. You were too. I was too. We were born. So some of you might be thinking, oh, what a terrible day, because when I was a young person, this would have never, ever been thought of. Could it never be imagined that we could go this far away from the truth? Yeah, it's true, but you were born for this time. You were born for this time. Where you were born, to whom you were born, your time in history was all a part of God's timing and His plan for you. And so you're here for such a time as this. We are here for this time. It's a dark time. It's a troubling time. It's a challenging time. And we really don't know to what degree that we will face problems, possibly persecutions, and other types of situations that could fall our way. But remember, we were born for this time. And when you look back the history of the church, those who have made their mark, those that have influenced us, and now we look back upon their life and their testimony, we look to them because even though they were sometimes even alone and they were persecuted and they were martyred, yet their life became such a testament to the power of God and the grace of God. And so don't ever fear the times, because God has arranged your life and your times. I know we're fearful. I'm fearful for my kids. I'm fearful for my grandkids. But I also know that they were born for this time as well. And if we can influence them, teach them, and train them to know the Lord and to serve the Lord, then God can help them to face the times that we're in right now. Amen. What we teach, what we do in our time is going to shape the thinking of the church and the life of the church for generations to come. Amen. I don't know how long that the Lord is going to tarry. It might be this week, or it might be 10 years from now or 20 years from now. I don't know. There may be another generation or two before Jesus comes. We don't really know for sure. I can't imagine that it could be very much longer, but I do know that we need to prepare ourselves and the succeeding generations to face the challenges of these last days. Amen. This is not just a call to the church, not just a call to church leaders, but this is a call to every individual to know what you believe and to stand firmly upon it and to know how to give an answer to this world. The right kind of response. It's really important that we have this kind of response. Now let me just review this for your benefit here. Number one, we need to maintain a grateful spirit. Amen. The Lord has put us here, and we can give thanks no matter what's going on, because there are many, many things that God is doing in these last days. Amen. Number two, we need to remember that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most powerful force on this earth. Amen. Amen. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The United States Supreme Court will not prevail. The President of the United States will not prevail. Amen. Amen. Because we're built upon the rock, Jesus Christ. Amen. Number three, we must exercise prudence as we move forward. Amen. And make plans for any possible problems, trusting God to give wisdom and help as we move along into this new future. Amen. And then number five, we need to engage the world that we live in. We don't hate the sinner. We love them. We pray for them. We're reaching for them. Jesus died for them. And so we have a responsibility to this crooked and perverse generation to not be filled with hate toward them. And it's very difficult. The last few days, you know, you pay much attention to the news. I mean, they're celebrating. They're celebrating this evil. They're dancing in the streets, and the president is smiling and turning the White House into a rainbow. And
and just celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. All of these things. If we're not careful, we will develop an attitude toward the world. And the only right attitude to have toward the world is to recognize that they are bound in their sin. They need a Savior, and the only way that they're going to receive the message of the gospel is through the ministry of the church. So if we clam up, if we hate the world, and we hate, well, we hate what they're doing. We hate what they love, but we must be able to love them. Amen. And then the sixth thing, fifth thing was engage in this world. Sixth thing is remember that we are born for this time. We were born for this time. Amen. I could have never imagined it. I'm getting ready to turn 60 years old here in a couple of months. I could have never, as a young preacher, ever imagined that this type of thing would ever be such an issue. You notice the fast pace in the last 3 or 4 years of this movement. And the only thing that's holding it back is he that who now letteth, or the restraining force of the church. Amen. What can push them back on their heels? What could stop them dead in their tracks? If the church in the United States of America would pray through, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this country would get back to the simplicity of the gospel and the word of God, and to begin to preach once again the whole counsel of God, and be anointed of the Spirit, and the church get on fire for God, we could push this movement back on its heels. They would not know what hit them. Amen. If the church would be the church. We were born for this time. We were born for this time, and what are we going to do about that? Just a few ideas about how we should respond as a church to these last days. Let's stand. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you have called us, you have saved us, and Lord, you have placed us here at this time for such a time as this. Give us courage, Lord. Give us courage, and Lord, give us the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can make an impact upon our world. The need is so great. The need is overwhelming, Lord, but we know, God, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We know that we're not in a war. We know that we're not to lower ourselves to that kind of a activism. But in reality, what you're calling us to is to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, help us to be what you have called us to be. A church on fire. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus.